You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Farah.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. The racial climate on college campuses is in the national spotlight after protests at the University of Missouri. The events that sparked those protests led to the resignation of the Missouri System President Tim Wolf and Chancellor of the flagship campus.
Here in Wisconsin, students of color are in the overwhelming minority. Data from the Office of Academic Planning and Institutional Research shows that just over 2% of UW-Madison's over 29,000 undergraduates identify as African-American. 2.6% of the faculty, 1.3% of instructional staff said they were African-American.
Gloria Lanson-Billings is with us to talk about the experience of minority students at a majority white campus. She's the Kellner Family Distinguished Chair in Urban Education at UW-Madison. Gloria, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you.
So is there a common thread for what it's like for African-American students at UW-Madison and other college campuses around Wisconsin?
Yes, and I think the important part of what's been happening is that we are clear that we're not looking at isolated incidents. It may be, you know, the specifics of things that happen may be, linked to a particular campus, but the issue of the sort of racial asymmetry that students experience on campuses is a pretty universal experience across most predominantly white institutions.
When you say racial asymmetry, what do you mean when we talk about how that experience plays out in the day-to-day life of a student?
Well, I think there are the combination of sort of overt acts where, you know, you have an 18-year-old shows up on a campus and the roommate is really concerned to be in the room with them, and they voice that. And there's the less obvious things, what Daryl Wing Sue and before him Harold Pierce called the microaggressions, the unintended things that people do that really make you feel like you don't belong.
Harvard University's Voices of Diversity project talked a lot about that concept of microaggressions and how that was a reality for a lot of these minority students on college campuses. What are the microaggressions?
Well, I think if we just wanted to use a technical explanation, we'd be talking about things, unintended actions, and often unaware, people being really unaware of doing things that are hurtful. So it might be something as trivial as, saying, oh, can I touch your hair? Well, that's not a horrible thing. It's not debilitating, but it's certainly not something you would have said to a white peer. So it's those tiny little, what I would call the thousand tiny cuts that after a while they just really wear on people because you just never know where they're coming from.
And it sounds like the microaggressions that students talk about can have long-term implications for their grades, for their sense of well-being, their sense of mental health. Over the long term, they can erode some of those things.
Yeah, in fact, social psychologist Claude Steele, who is currently the provost at the University of California, Berkeley, has devoted an extensive amount of his research to uncovering what he calls stereotype threat. And that's this notion that somehow you feel your group is unlikely to be successful in certain environments. And one of the things that heightens that is constantly underscoring your group. So, for example, when Steele did his first experiments, they brought in kids from Stanford. Now, we know all of these kids are pretty smart, black kids as well as white kids. And in the experimental group, he said something to them like, you know, we don't know why it is, but for whatever reason, black kids really do well on this exam. With the control group, he didn't say anything, but in the control group, you had to identify your race on the form. Now, both of the groups of students were pretty equally disadvantaged because they were freshmen, and he had them taking the GRE, the graduate exam, so you're not expecting whopping high scores. But what he saw is that in the control group where students were identifying themselves racially, there was a significant difference in the performance of black students versus the experimental group where he says, the experimenter says right out loud, for whatever reason, black students seem to do well on this. So these cues that our students are getting sometimes from faculty with this sense that, oh, are you sure you belong in this class? This may be too hard for you. And sometimes coming from a place of sympathy and well-meaning is reinforcing the notion that, well, you don't quite belong here, and we don't actually expect very much from you.
And Gloria, it sounds like sometimes it's not even things that are a little more nuanced or subtle. Sometimes it's overt racial taunting. And some students that were profiled in a recent piece alongside yourself in Madison 365, some of them reported going on social media and seeing horrible racially directed things there and going through the day wondering, is this someone who would say something like that? How
right.
are they looking at me? And so you're not able to really, it sounds like, focus on what's ahead of you if you're worried what people are thinking.
Right. We've seen across the country the sort of ridiculous Halloween parties that stereotype and demean particular groups, the Mexican Halloween parties or the so-called ghetto Halloween parties. We've had incidents on the Madison campus where young women have walked by predominantly white fraternity houses and been called racial epithets. I've been in Wisconsin for 24 years. I actually came out of my office one night, headed to the parking lot to my car, and these young white males yelled out the window, "Go back to Africa." You know, now, you know, for someone who's actually been to Africa several times, that I'd love to do that. it's nice and warm, and the people were great. But the idea was that they were saying this in some sort of demeaning way, totally devoid of an understanding of history, not realizing, for example, that most African Americans have a history that precedes theirs. Most European Americans show up in the Americas. Show up on this country in the Great Migration of the late 1890s. I have great grandparents that are here in the 1850s. So it's this sense of entitlement that gets played out along a racial line that I think is so troubling.
We're talking right now with Gloria Ladson-Billings from UW-Madison, talking about the experience of minority students on mostly white campuses in Wisconsin. And Gloria, in the wake of the Black Lives Matter movement, the incidents at the University of Missouri and other college campuses, including some protests here in Wisconsin, do you see things changing? Do you see what you might call an awareness or a consciousness raising about this kind of thing?
Well, I think it's our tendency as Americans to want to always be talking about progress as if it were some straight line experience. But we actually know that it's more like a spiral, that things come around over and over again. So we can, yes, go back to 1954 and point to the victory of a Brown versus Board of Education decision. But we also know that here we are in 2015, and if you are African American and Latino, and particularly if you're poor, you're not just in a segregated school, you're probably in a hyper-segregated school. So we're 60 years beyond Brown, but we still keep getting back to these. So, yes, things change, but we have to be ever vigilant.
There are some students here in Wisconsin, African-American students, who said they were surprised when they got to the universities, and some of their peers had never had a classmate who was black before or someone who was non-white before, and that was shocking to them. Are there unique challenges to Wisconsin?
Yes, because our population is very skewed, that the percentage of African Americans in the state are pretty much concentrated in the Milwaukee, Racine, Beloit area, and of course some in Madison. So the university serves the entire state. So we have students from the Northeast and Northwest and Central Wisconsin. Many of these students talk about their classmates never having a black classmate, but as an African-American professor, I am often the first black teacher any of these students have ever had.
Right, let's talk about that for a moment, because it sounds as though the number, let's take UW-Madison, the number of African-American students is around 2%, and the same goes for the faculty. So what does that do for students not seeing higher representation among faculty and teaching staff?
Well, in some ways it disadvantages our students, because the work world that they intend to go into is global. It's international. And it's going to be comprised of people from all kinds of backgrounds. And their inability to be fluid and comfortable in these different environments is going to really hurt them in their careers. Now, what it does for me as a university professor, it means that I not only have probably almost every African-American student in my school comes to me for something, even though I'm not their advisor, because they feel like they have so few resources. But I also have a lot of white students who really, really want me to be their advisor. They know of my work. They know of my reputation. So what happens to the African-American faculty and Latino faculty, as a colleague from Stanford, Amado Padilla, says, we pay an ethnic tax. So we do everything our white colleagues do, but then we do all this other additional work that doesn't really show up in a professional activities report, but has to get done just the same.
We're talking right now with Gloria Ladson-Billings from UW-Madison about the experience of minority students on mostly white campuses in Wisconsin.
You could join in now at 800-642-1234. Have you experienced this maybe as a student of color on a campus around Wisconsin? Or maybe that's your situation now. What is that experience like? What might need to change to improve the experience of African-American students around the state? What could make Wisconsin's campuses more welcoming, more diverse? Call and share your experiences at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also share your thoughts on the Central Time Facebook page.
We're picking up our discussion with urban education professor Gloria Ladson-Billings, talking about the experience of minority students on mostly white campuses in Wisconsin.
And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Do you have personal experience as a student of color at a Wisconsin university or college? What was it like as a minority student on a mostly white campus? How did it affect you, your studies? Or do you have a question for our guest? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
And we go to our callers now. We have Ann on the line in Milton. Ann, hi.
Hi.
What is your comment?
I had a question for the guest. I am a white faculty member at a college here in the UW system, and wondered, I definitely have African-American students who come to me and say that they are feeling less supported on campus and are really looking to connect, but I have a hard time doing it for many of the reasons that that the professor brought up. So I just wondered if she, Professor, if you could provide any advice for providing support to those students?
Wonderful question, Anne. So one of the things I did early on when I got on campus is I noticed that I was getting individual students coming to see me in distress. So I partnered with another colleague who had actually been here longer than me. In fact, he'd been the only African-American in our department for many years. But we partnered, and near this time of the year, just before students are getting ready to leave, we began having a gathering at our house. And we didn't limit it to African-American students. We didn't actually limit it to students of color. I mean, it was in some ways, we'd say if you have a white friend who, you connected with, or if we knew of a white student who was reaching out. And the idea was to get them all in a place that was relaxed. In other words, you're just going to come and have some good food and drinks and socialize. And we would tell them before the night was over, we pulled you together, but you don't have to wait for us. So to the degree that we get our students to realize they can lean and depend on each other, it's a less alienating experience. You almost never have this problem, for example, among students who are on the high-profile sports team. My football players don't come to me. They come to me when they're struggling with grades. But in terms of their own social experience, because they have that support of the team. But an individual shows up here from Kenosha by themselves. They don't know anybody. They often feel just alienated. And I want to be clear. It's not just students of color who feel alienation. I had a student who just said, I just can't do this. He happened to be white, and he was from outside of Eau Claire. It was just too big a place for him and too foreign in some ways. And it wasn't about race at all. It was like, I just don't feel like I fit in. So I think we always have to be careful with our freshmen, no matter where they come from. But we can begin to just make sure that students know there are other students there and that they aren't alone.
Well, thank you so much for that call, Anne. And I wanted to ask you about something you often ask your students to read, Gloria. It's a passage from the book Moo that sort of gets at different perceptions of this and how it might feel, an experience might feel to an African-American student as opposed to white students. Tell us about that passage from the book Moo by Jane Smiley.
Yeah, I love that book because even though it is a parody, it's a parody of a large research campus in the Midwest that has an agricultural school, so it ticks a lot of boxes for me as someone who moved here from California. It was like, okay. So I assigned this book, and there's a moment in the book where there are four girls who are similarly situated economically, and so they don't actually live in the dorm. They live in a co-op because they don't have very much money, but one of the girls is African-American, and she's from Chicago. In the book, her name is Mary. She has an incident in a dining hall where a white male student has his feet on the table, and she asks him to move his feet so she could sit down and enjoy her meal. And he calls her the N-word. And she just, she's almost frozen. And then when her white friends come up and want to know, Mary, what's wrong? And she explains what happened. Well, they're angry, too, and they just tell a guy, you need to go somewhere, get out of here. They basically chase him away. And in their minds, they've dealt with it. It's over. But now Mary is petrified. She can't concentrate. Her grades are slipping. She wants to leave school. And it's interesting because the character Mary is from Chicago, and she's a first-generation student. She tells an older sister who is a single parent struggling in a housing project, I think I'm going to drop out of school because of this incident. That sister, from her economic position, thinks she's crazy. What are you talking about? And then the white students feel like, but we handled it, Mary. It's over. But Mary is really stuck, and it's not until she connects up with an African-American professor who provides her some more support that she kind of makes her way through it. But I think that Smiley really does capture that sense of nobody understands what I'm going through. I can imagine that a person who experienced sexual assault might have some similar, and I'm making an analogy, I'm not making an equivalency, so don't, when people hollering, you can't say these are the same thing. But I'm saying when you have some kind of trauma, you never know how people process it. And to think that because the trauma, the actual event is over, means that it's over for the person who is victimized by it, I think we're mistaken.
And as we wrap up here, Gloria, you say, you're here at UW-Madison, that Madison is a town that likes to talk a lot, that isn't always so big on the action to getting to a result at the end. What would you like to see, just briefly, from UW-Madison?
Well, I think I referred to Madison as a process city, and I call myself a product person. That is, we love to talk. We like task force. We like study circles. We like the conversation. But it seems like we just can't seem to move forward with any action. And, I think we have enough data to suggest to us that the experiences of students of color is qualitatively different from that of their white peers. And we probably need to be finding out from them what will be of use for you, what will be helpful, what are the things that we can, and sometimes it's a question of legality. Some things you can't do, you just legally can't do. But what are things we can legally do to make this a better experience?
And we leave it there. Gloria, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure.
That was Gloria Ladson-Billings, Kellner Family Distinguished Chair in Urban Education at UW-Madison. She joined us to talk about the experience of being a non-white student on Wisconsin college campuses.